Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Favorites. You can have favorites on things. It just depends on what you do with the favorites that you have. And so as Tammy said, I'm really excited to jump into the story of Hannah. I think this story is one of the most Christ-like, godly character stories of the text. Yep, just said that. This is one of the most strength-emitting stories of the text, I think. If you're familiar with the story, we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, and we're going to talk about the story of Hannah, or Hannah is the verbiage in which we would talk about her name. And so a little setup for this series, and then we're going to dive in because there's a ton of scripture today. I want to read the fullness of the text. There's multiple truths that is in this. I'm super excited for what God has for you today. And so my invitation for you would be that you would be willing to look into the truth that God has for you. Before we dive in to the specific story, as we're talking about strength and dignity, if you know the story, you know what I'm going to say. If you don't know the story, listen to what I have to say, okay? This is a tough story, okay? And what I mean by tough is, number one, tough to take in to see the truth that God has, but number two, this is an unbelievably painful reality for a lot of people. A lot of women, whether they sit in this room or not, have actually had to experience the challenge and difficulty of what it means to not be able to have a child. That's the heart of the story. The heart of the story is also the heart of who God is. And so as we talk about this today, as I said, there's multiple truths that come into it. For one, just be aware that this is real and that a lot of people struggle with this. But we're real life, so we're gonna talk about real things. And so the invitation again for us is to look at the truth of the text. My hope is that two things happen for you today. Number one, for some of you, that you'd be unbelievably encouraged by what God has to say in this message. That you would be thanked, ladies, that you would be honored, that you would be recognized when you put God on display by the way that you live. I hope that's so true. I hope some of you get so encouraged today, you can't even walk out of here without crying. That's one thing. The second thing is, some of you would understand the gravity of the difficulty that some people walk through. That you would be able to see other people as God sees them and actually understand with the fullness in you what God says strength actually is and what it's not. When in your life and in your story that God puts strength on display, faith, hopefulness, what it means to have dignity and be a God-honoring person, that you would look at the details of the story and go, man, the God that I serve is unbelievable. That if you don't know him, that today you'd go, there's something that has to change in my life. And so the depth of this story is oh so deep. We only have 98 minutes to get through the whole story. Just kidding. 34 maybe. Read it again. Ask questions. Talk about it in your small groups. But man, it's a huge one for today. Here's what our series is about. It's by recognizing a few of many of the godly women of the text that God uses to share with the world who he is. And so there's multiple things going on in the series and in the story. Is that number one, through the story of Hannah and the characters in her life, and there are many of them, that you would understand and see who God actually is, how he works, what he's in the business of doing, his timing, whether it's seen or unseen, felt or unfelt, that you would see in the story of Hannah who God is. Number two, that you would see the invitation that all of us get to choose to be Christ-like, God in us. The ability for us to show a lost and dying world what it actually means to have hope, to have faith, and to actually put on display the strength that God has for us. Who is our God? Who are we invited to be? And God uses multiple people, men and women. But for this series, we're going to look at the women that put God on display in hopes that we would be encouraged and that we would also have wisdom in understanding the story that some of us have and some of the ladies in this room have. Sound good? I hope you're ready for that. If you're quiet, I'm going to take that as contemplative this morning. If not, I don't know what we're doing with that. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, then we're going to go down and break it up a little bit. Then we're going to talk about chapter 2, which is Hannah's prayer, which is her response to God in the story of her life. And then we're going to look at a couple things. Number one, how does God put on display what strength is? We get to ask ourselves this question, do I have a godly strength in my life? Do I have strength in my life that the world says is strength, or do I get to relate to the strength that God says is actual strength? How do I relate? And number two, we get to see how is it that our God works, and man, how can we collectively strive to be that together? So 1 Samuel chapter 1, as we dive in, this is the story of Hannah, and Hannah's name means grace. Grace. So we get to see a few things in the story. What is grace? How does God use grace? Does Hannah have grace? Do you have grace? Are you a person of grace? What does grace actually mean? The definition is that it's unmerited or unearned or undeserved favor or blessing. And so when you hear this story, you gotta ask yourself, is this blessing? Is this favor? What does it mean to be acknowledged and known by God? Do I see that? Do I have that? When God's grace is put on display in the world, does it look like this, or does it look like something that I've made up in my own life? The word grace. And we're gonna see that the characteristic of Hannah that is strength and dignity recognized is that she gives. She gives. God gives. Hannah gives. Do you give? What do you give as a person? What do you take as a person? Where does it come from? The fullness of the story of the Bible is in all of the stories, and we get to see that in this story today. Okay, enough, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're gonna read it together. We're gonna let God's word speak, and then we're gonna talk about it. So here we go. I'm reading in the NIV, verse 1. It says, there's a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one called Hannah and one Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up to his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of his meat to his wife, Peninnah, and all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and she would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair of the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much. She prayed to the Lord. She made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was moving her voice, was not, or moving her lips, but her mouth, and her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli said, go in peace. The you of God of Israel will grant you what you've asked. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. And when the man Elkanah went up to all his family and offered the annual sacrifices, the Lord said to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good to his word. So the woman stayed at her home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. She said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Thus is the word of God. What a story. And so as we look into this, there's a couple things to set up before we go into each of these pieces. Again, we're looking for what strength actually is. What does it mean to have God's grace? How does a person put that on display? What do we learn about God? We're going to look at that in all the story. In the beginning of the text in creation in Genesis, we see that God is the creator of life. True. God gives life. God also gives and takes away. One of the first commandments or invitation that God gives to all humanity is to be fruitful and multiply together, O man and woman. Life comes from God. God invites humanity to procreate in the image and likeness of God. God invites us to the most amazing thing in the planet. Ladies, the part of procreation that you have is an unbelievable, massive blessing and responsibility. It takes time, it takes work, it takes effort. It is unbelievably blessed to be able to be with child, should you be able to have that. Thank you. I hope that you recognize the giftedness that God gives you if you're able to have child. Men and women, I hope that you see together that collectively the image and likeness of God is put on display of the world when we are fruitful and multiply. That the blessing of the entire world, of all nations, comes through a people group that recognizes that God is the one that creates, God's the one that gives, and that we get to bear image to God in the children that he allows us to have. Guys, you do the short part. True? Now there's a long, difficult, challenging part, which is to be with child. The bearing of a child is the imagery of God giving life to the world. The invitation that God gives to that is significant. Blessed is a person that gets the ability to do that. Thank you, ladies, that are willing to do that. Thank you, those that are willing to go through that process of showing the world where life comes from, to partner with God in that. Isn't that an unbelievable blessing? Isn't that just amazing to celebrate? Why so somber this morning? You can't have the bad without the good, can we? If we don't celebrate the fact that God has invited people into that, that we don't take actual wisdom and understanding the depth of what it means to be a parent, to raise a child and all the work and all the struggle and all the blessing and all the goodness that goes into that. If we don't recognize in creation that women have been given an unbelievable ability to show to the world who our God is by the way that we mother, by the way that we carry children, by the way that we birth children, by the way that we bless them. If we don't talk about that, then we don't understand the depth of the rest of the story, do we? We don't understand what strength is. Because what God does in the Bible multiple times is he sets us up to understand what is so unbelievably good about life, and at the same time, he shows us when it's not, when we don't have it, when we yearn for it, when we try to find life in a different way, when we try to find purpose and value and understanding. And so how deep is this story? Just a little deep. It goes through the floor. To understand what strength actually means through the person of Hannah that talks about a character that is Christ-like, we have to understand that it's an unbelievable life-giving reality to be a mother with child. Do you recognize the significance of that this morning? Man, I forget. Sometimes I forget. And as a parent, right, I can forget. It's like, oh, the sleepless nights and all, right? And I'm not even the mom that had to actually care of the child for 9 months. I forget. Forget the goodness that God gives in this invitation. First and foremost, that's the precedent of what happens. So when we see Hannah, which is one of many, many stories in which God puts women on display that are without child, that should hurt when you see that. If that is something that God allows and invites us into to be life givers as God gives life, when that is not part of the equation, that hurts. Do you have eyes to see this morning? Do you understand the blessing and the challenge and the difficulty on either sides of the equation. Now the question is, as we talk about strength and dignity, and we talk about Hannah, and we talk about who God is, and we talk about what does it look like to be Christ-like, both men and women alike can understand the characteristics of God from her. God just chooses to use her in one of many stories in the text. The question is, what does strength actually look like? What does it actually mean to be a person that goes, man, I'm standing firm like our last series. I'm gonna have a hope and I'm gonna have a trust that is actually practically put together. Not just when we do little fake Bible studies and we do things online and we do this stuff, but when you walk around every single day with the people you're in relationship with and I go, I wonder what their story is. I wonder what they've actually been through. Because as we reread the story this morning, there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that she does publicly that most people will see, and there's a whole bunch of things she does privately that most people will not. And you have the same story. Who are you when you're unseen? Who are you before the blessing happens? If the blessing never comes, who are you when you sit in the midst of a story that says, I don't know what's going to happen next? Did I do something wrong? Who am I? God, why me? What are you doing? Do you see Hannah? The question is, do you see strength? Will you see God's grace in the middle of it? It's not an accident that that's her name. Is that understanding grace is unmerited favor. Where does what I have come from? Am I thankful for what I have? Because as you see in the story, and you can already feel it building in you right now, this is a person that is thankful for what she doesn't have and hopeful for what God can do, but is also a person that's gonna point to God no matter where it's at. No matter what she has, no matter what she gains, no matter what she loses, this is an icon for us to go, who am I and am I actually strong? Am I strong in the right things or am I strong in the things that don't matter? Jesus in us, Christ-likeness that's put on display in Hannah is what actually gives us life and it's what's gonna show a lost and dying world what they're searching for. Today, as we rebuild the word, I pray that we will be a people that strive to have strength, that we will be a people that recognize the reality and the disposition of people in our lives, exactly like this story, with ladies in our lives that have had not the opportunity to have child. Would we see that and understand what they're going through and say yes to the call of Jesus to find those that are in trouble and help? To find those that are meek and brokenhearted and lift them up. Would we see that first of all before we actually can act on it? And then would we also be people that would say, man, I wanna be like Hannah. I want the character of God to be like me in her story. God, I wanna grow like she grew. God, I wanna be like her because if I can be anything like that, people are gonna come to know you, Lord. And it's usually not when it's unicorns and rainbows, is it? It's not. Let's let God teach us this morning. So we're going through. First of all, we see verse 2. We're just going to peel this back apart. Chapter 1, verse 2. We see that Elkanah had two wives. Right quick, just for some context, in the Old Testament story, there was oftentimes multiple wives. Okay, that was never God's design, but God always allows things and makes good. Sometimes it was out of an honorable heart to where a man would actually take upon the family of somebody to where the husband had died in order to provide, in order to have sustenance in their life, because without they would be left and usually taken into slavery or they would not be provided for. So sometimes people had multiple wives to help. Sometimes they did it because they were horrendously selfish and they operated out of fear and they wanted to have their own life and were completely disobedient to God. Okay? I don't know which one this is, but they're in there and I just wanted to note that. You can't walk through the text verse by verse and just skip and delete verses, can you? Nope, it's in there. This was the situation. Now there's a lot that you can see into it. Okay, the greatest or the first, not the greatest, but the first invitation to be fruitful and multiply, especially in that cultural context, had a massive amount of significance in identity and recognition for the name of your family. And so in order to carry on a lineage with a firstborn, to carry on the family's name, to be known for who you are, came through having kids. And so sometimes in the text, you'll see that there were multiple wives, some that have children and some that could not. Now, where does life come from again? It comes from, I'm just making sure we're away, it comes from God, right? How does God have life furthered? He uses people. And so already you can see that a person that is with child, a family that has kids, is part of the procreation designed to be fruitful and multiply. So we see that there was two wives. One had child and one did not. And our character, Hannah, is the one that did not. So we see verse 5. As we break through this, we're looking for character and strength and dignity today. Who are we? It says, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and all to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. Why did he give a double portion? According to the text, it says because he loved her. That's right. Now, there's some awesome depth in meaning here as well. Double portion is in reference to what would be called blessing and favor. Blessing and favor. Let me ask you a question. In Hannah's story, did she have blessing and favor at this point in the story? No. Sure didn't seem like it, does it? Sure didn't seem like it. She had no child. For years and years and years, it said because her husband loved her, he bestowed upon her a double blessing, the showing of honor and favor in their life. Now, if I'm Hannah, and if you're anything like me, I'm like, yeah, stinking right. Yeah, right. Thanks for the offering. Thanks for the acknowledgement. But we both know that that's not true right now. We both know that I'm hopeless potentially right now. Now, Hannah's not that because she shows us a whole different version of it. But the double portion is a showing of favor. That's going to happen multiple times throughout the story of the Bible. Oftentimes, a double portion was given to the first born. Okay, so hold on. So the husband of Hannah, who was childless, gave a double portion because he loved her, but it would also make sense that he was giving her a double portion in anticipation of what? A firstborn. Come on, see the text this morning. He's saying, I see you, I love you, I have favor and value, and I have a hopeful anticipation one day, wife of mine who does not have child, that one day you will. And so year after year, when they go to worship God collectively together, her husband, albeit not yet she had favor, was showing her favor, was saying in hopeful anticipation, a double portion is yours. I do love you. I do have hope for you. Do you have strength this morning to be a person that sits in Hannah's position? When people in your life are like, hey, listen, you may not have what you want right now, but I love you and I see you and I have favor upon you and I have hope with you. Or are you a person like me that takes all the good things and all the encouragement and I go, get out of here. You don't understand. Yeah. Fine. I'm just gonna focus on the really hard, difficult thing right now. A double portion was given to Hannah in a situation to where she had not yet felt like she had actually received the double portion from God. A person of Christ likeness that has strength is a person that puts their faith and their trust and their hopefulness of God before they see the things that they may feel like is blessing or not. A double portion was given to Hannah. God used her in her position to say, this is a person that is favored and blessed. Think about that for a second. Do you feel that way in your own journey? In a situation to where you're wondering, is God gonna do something for me? Is God gonna give me and allow me to be a part of a blessing that it seems like every other person has? Sure doesn't feel like it, but yet God is still saying, I'm faithful, and will you trust me in the process? See, strength that is worthy of honor, that's what the word dignity means, this title of our series, is recognized in a person that has hope when hope is yet to be seen. That is recognized when somebody else says, I want to trust in the Lord, and don't miss this, regardless of what you feel like you've produced, God sees you and loves you. You're double honor. You are favored and valued. We could just stop right there and just talk about that the whole rest of the time. That's just the fifth verse. Man, we could sit here and go, let me tell you about all the times where I don't know what God's doing. And I don't necessarily have the things that other people recognize. And I'm not really asking for much. I'm just asking for what most everybody else has. And a person of strength is one that says, I don't know how it's gonna go, but I know who does. And a person of strength is a person that looks around and recognizes that in the process, other people are trying to show them that God loves them and is for them and sees them. We're only in verse 5. See, that's why they make these things in the Bible, because you go whoop, right back to it. Let's go. Verse 6, we see that Hannah is a position of showing godly character for us. It says that a double portion was given to her because the Lord had closed her womb. It's repeated, which means it makes double time to look at. The Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. And so the position of this would feel like that God has intentionally cut you off from having blessing. Do you ever feel that way? For some reason, you're like, why is God doing this to me? Why is God doing this to me? A different question would be, what is God doing? why is God doing this for me? That's a tough one to look at. But it says multiple times that God had chosen, right? Catch the cultural significance here. God had chosen to yet or not yet, or to delay or to stop what could potentially be the only thing in her life that gave value and identity and significance. You ever been there? To where you're like, man, where did my value come from? Where's my identity? If I don't have child, where does that come from? If I don't have significance and wealth, where does that come from? If I don't have friends, where does that come from? If I'm not popular, if I don't have relationships, where does that come from? And you can already see that what God is choosing to do by picking a person who says, this is a person that has Christ-like character. My daughter, Hannah, does. She has strength. She has dignity. She is full of grace. This is me working. I pick her. And how I'm choosing to work in here is I'm telling her not yet, or maybe never. Who are you this morning? Strength is a person in that that goes, I still trust God. I still am gonna trust him. And God, if you give me something, I'm gonna give it back. But God, until then, I'm gonna wait. God, I'm gonna pray. And we get to see how she does that. But a person of strength, I'm gonna say it 97,000 times this morning, is a person that is willing to recognize that and go, my identity does not come from what I have. My value does not come from what I produce. My identity and my value says that I'm made in the image and likeness of Christ, that God is put on display in me, in my character, in the way that I love, in the way that I respond or don't, in the way that I'm actually pointing people to Jesus when they look at my situation and they go, that doesn't make sense. That is terrible. That's so hard. You're the story of Job. You might as well just quit, renounce God, throw it all the way. It's a complete disaster. And you get to be like Hannah and go, no. You may see that, but there's more going on. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you where my hope is. Let me tell you where my faith is. And as I work through this with strength, I get to point to a God that gives grace when I have it and when I don't. When I have it and when I don't. And it says that in the middle of this process, year after year, verse 6, because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. You keep reading, it says that this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and she would not eat. I get frustrated and weak and complaining and whining. You can ask my wife. After like a week, like 2 months, I was the most grumpy, frustrated, rude person after like 3 months of winter here, you know, like 2 weeks ago. Hannah, in her disposition, year after year, was irritated and provoked by opposition, by her rival, by somebody super close to her, until the point that she wept. And where was it? When they went to serve and sacrifice to the Lord. When they went to the house of worship, somebody in her life over and over and over again provoked her in the middle of her pain. Whew. How strong are you this morning? Are we gonna like lift weights later? Like, I mean, right? Man, how strong are you this morning? Years at a time? Some of you this morning are starting to feel that encouragement. I'm getting emotional even thinking about it. You've been going through stuff for years. You have people in your life for years that are pushing back on you and questioning you. What are you doing? Look at what you don't have. Man, you must have a God that misses you, that doesn't see you, that doesn't care about you. Why are you doing what you're doing? Provoking. You don't have this. You don't have that. How can you have faith in a God when he's not giving you all the stuff that the world says makes you a person? Years she was provoked. And today we talk about what does it mean to be a person that has strength, that says, yeah, but I'm still gonna trust him. That is a strength that's honorable, that is dignified, is a person that says what the world tells me is gonna be my identity, I'm not gonna find it in that. I don't know what God's doing, I don't know how long he's doing it. I don't know how long I'm gonna get pushed back on, but I'm not quitting. And I'm gonna give God whatever it is that he gives me, even if it feels like it's nothing at all, I'm gonna give it back to him. She was provoked in her pain. Do you relate this morning? Are you a person that's like, man, I see God in this story. I see him in my story. Would you hang in there? Would you find hope? Would you be a person like Hannah? She's provoked in her pain. And then this is a not helpful, yet unbelievably hilarious part of the story, what's coming next. She's in this position. She weeps and doesn't eat. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 kids that you don't have?" You gotta have a little brevity. Come on, you gotta have a little brevity here, right? Ladies, you already know what I'm talking about. You're like, "Oh my gosh, that's my husband. That's what he does. Like, I'm dying on the inside." And he's like, "Hey, honey, how you doing? Like, what's up? I'm so valuable in that thing," right? You gotta have a little brevity in the story. Now, he's well-intended, but not helpful. Well-intended, but not helpful, right? Are you like her, where you're going through something of massive significance? Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a son, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's inverted husbands, maybe it's your wife. Okay, maybe it's people you're in relationship with where you're grinding and you're working through it, and maybe you're to the point of you're not really eating very much, let's call it depression, and somebody comes along and is like, "Good, good, good, fine, 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 ha, 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 good, 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 hi." And you're like, "I just want to kill you, I think." If you relate, you relate, okay? See the good and the bad, see the fun and the hard in the story. Don't you, like, how can you not see God as a God of joy and laughter in that whole thing? He's like, "I'm just going to drop that right in the story right there." Right in the middle of it, okay? What does she do? She chops his legs off and no. Although that's probably how you feel sometimes, right, ladies? I mean, in the middle of it, sometimes people come along, they're not super helpful, are they? Fellas and ladies, but for the sake of the story, man, catch a clue, right? And maybe if it's not your actual wife, maybe this is just a collective, which is you're going to start to see in this entire story. Hannah is a picture of a woman that puts on the character of God. She's also the ability for both men and women to learn from. She's also the imagery of what God calls the church to be. Okay? She's the picture of what God calls the church to be. He calls all of us to be faithful, all of us to have strength, all of us to be grace-filled, all of us to see the goodness in the struggle, all of us to be her. And so if there's a situation right now, would we have wisdom to recognize that, man, there's a whole bunch going on that we don't see if we don't care to see it? That if we're not actually looking at what people are going through, we get to be Elkanah in that situation, which comes across flippant and not like we don't care. And I'm not saying he's doing that, but man, do you see that he's a person that's trying to give her life when the life she's looking for is always intended to come from God? She's pointing to that. And I'm like that. I love to rescue people. I like to be liked. I like to come along and go, "I'm going to help you out of your situation." And that sometimes is the worst thing I can do. So strength and dignity, a person that is God's grace in its various forms, the name of Hannah, sometimes it just requires us to have a little tact and a little bit of discipline and not say the thing that's just flippant and easy, right? So we can learn to be people of strength, actually know what's going on in a situation and not say dumb things. "I'm working on it. I'm working on it." And it's strength. Sometimes in the hardest times is when people come along and say the most unhelpful things. The story continues on, and we see that he says, "Am I not better than 10 sons?" He says, once she had finished eating and drinking, Hannah stood up, and Eli the priest was sitting on a chair at the doorpost of the Lord's temple. And in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, prayed to the Lord. A person of strength is a person sometimes that finds themselves in a season of soul bitterness, in a season of weeping, in a season of anguish. And what Hannah does that shows us how we can be a people of strength is she takes what she has, she doesn't hide it, she doesn't make up reasons to not feel it, she does, and then she gives it back to the Lord with honesty in a person of brokenness that is willing to put on display the emotions and the feelings that God has put in creation. This morning, are you a person that's strong enough to share your emotions and feelings with God? Are you a person that's strong enough to share your emotions and your feelings with other people so that they can see how God is working in you? I think sometimes in this day and age, we're so afraid to be honest that life is hidden. We're so afraid to share our emotions that we're just trying to be robots and we take out the image of God in our lives rather than put it on display. There's people that are looking for realness, authenticity. They wanna know, are you struggling? Because I'm struggling. And they want to know when you have victory because they want victory. But in the middle of this, Hannah's not afraid to be a person that says, I'm so embittered in my soul that I'm weeping, that I'm not hungry. I got comments coming from my husband who's not catching it. I got opposition from the enemy pushing back. And guess what that results in me? The strongest thing that she can do in that situation is just show it. She just shows it. And she goes to God in prayer multiple times. And she says, God, this is right where I am. This is what I have going on. She's not hiding it. It's on full display. And God is building up in her the character that he wants us to see as individuals, as women, as men in the church, that says when you go through life and you are grieving that which you are hopeful for, man, don't hide it. Would you show it? Because you will give other people hope when you are a person like Hannah that says, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to hide it. I'm going to put it on display because I believe that God is working in it. And so she's in grief and in anguish and in bitterness of soul. And she makes a decision of character, of strength, to make a vow and a promise to the Lord. Now, at this point in the story, does she have a child yet? No. And you're going to see later that she has multiple children that God's blessed by if you continue to read the rest of the story. She does not yet have a child. She has had all of the challenges, all of the difficulties, all of the ridicule, all of the questioning, all of the pressure, all of the pushback. And she says, this is my response. How strong are you today? This is what she does. She makes a vow to God. She said they had finished eating and drinking at Shiloh and Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow to God. She said, O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me. The word remember means know me, see me, understand me. God, would you be who you say that you are with me? God, if you would look upon me, Lord Almighty, and not forget me, be who you are in my life, God, is what she says. She says, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. It says that she went on and she kept praying to the Lord, and Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying and her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard, and he thought she was drunk. I'm telling you, God's creativity is unmarked. It's unbelievable. So she's at a position, it's the lowest of lows, the hardest of hards, the worst of the worst. And she says, in this moment, oh church, you want to see what strength looks like? I'm going to give it back to the Lord. And I say, God, this is who you say you are. God, be it. God, please show up in this way. God, I know that this is who you are. God, I know that this is how you work. God, I know that you know my story. But even in the midst of that, God, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you, will you do this for me? And when you do, if you do, I will give it right back to you. I'm going to give it right back to you, God, because here's how it all comes together this morning, you guys. She's acknowledging it all comes from God anyway. And he's going to choose to give, and sometimes he takes away. He's going to choose to give, and sometimes he chooses not to. Sometimes, ladies, you're going to have child, sometimes you won't. Sometimes you're going to have affluence, sometimes you won't. Sometimes you're going to have more resources, sometimes you won't. Whatever it is that God gives you, will you be a person with strength to stand firm like Hannah and say, God, whatever you give me in hopeful anticipation, when you do, I'm giving it back. And I haven't even seen it yet. And God, I don't know if you're going to do it, but if you do, it's coming back to you because this is who you are, God. And in the middle of her greatest moment, you could say, the most weak she's ever been, she's the strongest, which is what Jesus says and Paul says in the New Testament, that in my weakness, he is strong. In my weakness, his presence is made perfect. In that moment, the person of the church, the priest of the church sees her effort. And what does he say? You're drunk. Let that sit for a second. When you're doing everything you have, potentially the greatest display of strength that nobody else is going to see. And maybe somebody else in the church, in this church, in your small group goes, you're crazy. What are you doing? What are you doing? When are you going to put the wine away? When you're making your strength, your strongest effort before the Lord, people are going to miss it. How strong are you? People don't see what you're doing right now. And those that do are like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you going to church? Why are you trying? Why are you trying to be in relationship with God? Why are you trying to be in relationship with people? Why are you trying to make disciples? Why are you trying to be honest? You're crazy. Why don't you stop? How strong are you? Now, if I'm Hannah in that moment, I'm like, you church guy. Church guys miss it. What does she do? What does she do? Here's what she does. With that question, she goes, no. No. I'm not hitting the bottle. I'm not drinking. I'm not sideways. I'm not crazy. I'm not intoxicated. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not doing anything. You want to know what I'm doing? Pouring out my soul to God. That's the only thing I got. She says it here beautifully in the word. She says, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. And then he sees it. He says, okay, go. And she goes. So she has a little bit to eat. It's always important. She says that her face was no longer downcast. And we see that there's the start of the turn of the story. We've already read it. That in her greatest moment, yet again, there was pushback and ridicule and question. Is that in your story today? Maybe that's been in the past of your story. It's where you're like, man, I had to work through that. I don't know how I did that. Through the strength of the Lord is the only way. That which is dignified in a woman's story through the story of Hannah is something that is to be honored and respected, to where she doesn't quit in the hardest moments, oftentimes in the face of ridicule and challenge. Maybe this morning you need to hear parts of this story to recognize that you're a person that's not helpful, that you're giving false comments that are trying to be good, that are just tearing people down, that you're watching somebody actually trying to go through walking in the Lord and you're pushing back against them going, what are you doing? Don't be like Eli in this spot, okay? Would we be a people that actually seek to understand what's going on in a person's life? And so we see that even in sometimes when you're doing the greatest work of God that requires the most faith, the most hope, the most trust, the most strength, it still may not be seen. How strong are you today? That's tough. Do we have eyes to see people that are walking this journey? As you go through the rest of the story, you're going to see that she was anguished and grieved. And in verse 19, it says that God saw and remembered her. Now, had God seen her the whole time? Yeah. Had God known her the whole time? Yeah. Do you know that God sees you and always has? That he knows your story? That he knows when you're like Hannah in moments like this of doubt, struggle, and difficulty? That he's hopeful for you? That he says, when you choose to trust in me, when it's hard, when you don't know, and you're not sure what's coming, the world sees me. For you that sit in here today, remember, so encouraged that you cannot walk out of here without weeping, that you would know that in your struggle, God shows himself to other people when you do not quit. When you go and you weep and you pray and you fight and you say, no, I'm working through it and my soul is grieved, but I'm going to the Lord. You show the character of God to people in the world and you give them hope. Thank you. Thank you when we don't see it. Thank you when we say things that are not helpful. Thank you when we don't understand the journey that you're going on. But hear this morning, God sees you. He knows you. And in Hannah's story, as we end this morning, we see that God indeed does give her child, Samuel, that which would be a priest that is honorable and set apart and holy, that continues the story of God's people. And that the first thing that she did when she was given child is she said, I'm going to be a person of my word, strength to make your yes be yes and your no be no. I've dedicated my life to God and I've dedicated the life that he's given me back to God. And Samuel becomes that person. Parents, moms, your faithfulness can encourage the next generation to put God at the very top. Parenting's hard. It's hard. But your generation that you've providing, if it gives back to God, can change the trajectory of the church in the next generation. As we end this morning, you see in the text that there's strength and dignity everywhere. You get to ask yourself, how strong are you, in what ways, in what positions? Hopefully you will celebrate those that are walking the journey right now to where they don't have whether it's children, whether it's blessing, whether it's opportunity, whether it's physical ability, whatever it may be, that would we see a people that are working through that, that give glory to God and honor them for their dignity and for their strength. Hannah is God's grace in the midst of whatever our journey is. Do you see God's grace in the midst of your journey? Will you fight to have the strength of Christ in you in the way that Hannah did? Will we be a people that support that, that see that, that put our God on display when the rest of the world's watching and everybody expects you to quit and freak out and actually go get drunk? Right? It's God's word in here. I can't believe he said that. He said that in church. I did. Because if you're a real person, most of us in Hannah's situation do exactly what she was accused from. Right? And if you're not doing that, hopefully you're spending more time with people that are so that you can save them from the position that they think they have life when they don't have it. Hannah is a picture of God who gives. In your notes, if you want to look at it, you can see all the different things she gave. She gave her hope, she gave her trust, she gave her identity, she gave her pain, she gave her emotion. She gave her life. She gave her son. She gave out of a position of strength because our God is a God that gives, and he invites us to be the same. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.